Amen. Be seated, church family. Hey, I am glad that you are here today in the house of the Lord. If you have got a Bible with you, and I hope that you do, then Colossians chapter 3 is where we will be. So open up to Colossians chapter 3 and look forward to walking through a passage from God's Word along with you today. While you're turning there, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, my name is Brian. I have the joy of being the pastor of this work that we have going on here that we call Quarry Church that began as, well, a long time ago, Montecil Baptist Church and then Southside Baptist Church. And then for a while there, a brief time over the summer, Replant Shelby at Southside, which is a really complicated and horrible name, but it was a good name for our project, and now Quarry Church. And man, I'm pumped that we get to do this together. I'm grateful for you, and I look forward to seeing what the Lord has in store for us today. If you're new or visiting with us, let me encourage you, in front of you, there's this card in the pew, and so I want to ask you to grab one of those, fill it out, give me your name, your email, your phone number. The reason why I do that is because I want to meet you and hear a little bit about your story, and I want to just follow up on what the Lord is doing in your life. I also want to get some feedback on what you experienced at Quarry Church when you came. What did you think of the service and that sort of thing? So do fill that out. You can drop it in one of the bowls either here at the front or in the back. Same place that if you're like writing checks, church family, or giving cash, you can grab an envelope and put it in there. We have envelopes now that say Quarry Church instead of Liberty Baptist Church. So step by step, just becoming more and more official. These are the kind of things that you clap about as Baptists. So, man, I'm super thankful to be here today. Hey, this is a special weekend. As many of you know, this is Veterans Day is tomorrow. And so this is kind of the weekend of Veterans Day. So do we have anybody that served at any point in the armed forces? Would you just shoot your hand up real quick? Okay, awesome. Thank you to you guys. We applaud you and your service. So I'm sorry to highlight you like that, but hey, I want to celebrate and shout out thank you to you guys for being willing to pay that ultimate sacrifice in order to for us to have the freedoms that we have. Man, it's cool that this Veterans Day comes on the heels of an election day where the people all across the country got to stand up and cast their vote for the future of our country, or at least the next 4 years. And man, I know that that's like, man, this has been a really polarizing, really divisive time in our nation. And so let me just encourage you for a brief moment. Y'all, Jesus is on the throne. So like, no matter who sits in the White House, no matter which country seems to be the most powerful country in the world right now. In fact, let me press in a little bit further. No matter how much your gas is, no matter how much your groceries are, right? Jesus is on the throne. God is not broke. In fact, God is not poor, right? He owns not just the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the hills on which the cattle are on, right? So like everything that you need, your Father has it. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to be anxious. Like, in fact, the Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing. In everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. You need something? Ask your Father. He's got it, and He's watching out for you. He doesn't let a single sparrow fall to the ground apart from His plan and His permission. So He's going to take care of you too, okay? So with that said, I encouraged you last week. I encourage you again this week. Be people of peace as you go throughout your day-to-day life in the community. Let's not stir up. Let's not provoke. Let's not bring out the worst in anybody to the best of your ability. It's not about your guy winning or their gal losing. It's about Jesus being on the throne. Let's celebrate and proclaim what's most important, okay? You guys are doing a great job of that, and I'm thankful for it already. I'm also thankful for, man, just the work that y'all are putting in. This is a church plant, right? The way that I've described it is it's kind of like building an airplane while you're on the runway gaining speed for takeoff, right? So we're getting up in the air and like something falls off and it's like, hey, do we need that? You know, because we're rolling, but do we need that? And it's like, no, we got to live without it. You know, let's just keep going. So I know that the pieces are not all put together yet. And there's some things that it's like, you're looking around like, man, is this going to work? Is this going to happen? Listen, not only is Jesus on the throne, He's got all the power. Like, so if He wants this thing to work, it's going to work. And He's going to work through you and through me in order to see His kingdom expand. That's the point. But we do have to be more aggressive than some of our friends who attend like well-established traditional churches with big budgets, right? We've got to be what I call church plant hungry. And man, you guys have exemplified that in the last 6 months as we've been going. Teams giving up weeknights and weekends to come and put a playground together that's getting there. Even when the rain tries to rain them out, you know, this is just hard work being done. And all the painting that we've done and the cleaning that we've done and the organizing that we've done and the training that you have gone through, like, I'm proud of you. Just hear me say that as your pastor. I'm proud of you. And I'm really, really thankful for you. Not there yet. We got a long way to go, a lot of work to be done. But man, God is on the move, and I'm excited about it. If you're excited about it as well, and I hope that you are, I emailed you just yesterday, December the 1st. Mark that date on your calendar, leadership gathering right after church, December the 1st. We'll get a plan together as far as what we're going to do for food and how we'll bring all that together. But man, I'd really like to see all of you there. I count you as a leader, and so I want you to be there for that meeting and to text a friend who you know should be at that meeting and be like, hey, you better be at that meeting because I'm going to be at that meeting and we both need to be there. Does that make sense? All right, y'all are coming with me on that. So today we are going to continue in our series, Colossians, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. And we are more than halfway through the book at this point. So we're actually beginning the turn toward the end of Colossians. I think we've got three more weeks to go. And we'll wrap up our study in this book. I hope it's been as enjoyable for you as it has been for me. I've really, really enjoyed getting to study God's Word through Colossians. Today we are going to wrap up our time with a celebration of the Lord's Supper. That's why this is all here. So super excited for that. And that'll be a special moment for us. But before we dive into the text, let me ask you a question. Or actually, I'm going to paint you with a scenario. Let's imagine that you are and have been an employee at Chick-fil-A. Now, I don't know why I chose that analogy. It's not like we have any of those people who are here in our midst. Just three of them, I think, that are full-time at Chick-fil-A. And so you've been working there for years and years and years. But while you're doing that, you were also working hard in school. You got a degree, right, in medicine. And then you did nursing school after that for a year, accelerated program, got it knocked out. And the time has come, man. The time has come. You are going to show up at your first, your residency, right? You're going to show up at the hospital for your first day on the job as a nurse, a registered nurse. And you go to your closet in the morning to get ready to go. And on the left, you see your Chick-fil-A uniform. And on the right, you see a pair of scrubs, right, hanging there in the closet. Every single person in this room knows which one of those you're going to grab to go to work that day, right? How silly would it be for you to grab that Chick-fil-A uniform, put that thing on, and then go to the hospital and show up at the desk, right, for your pre-check meeting to get assigned, to get your charts, to get ready to start making rounds, and you're wearing a Chick-fil-A uniform with a name tag that says, "My pleasure." That'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? Well, friends, here's the analogy that Paul's going to draw for us today in Colossians chapter 3. Hey, you got a new vocation. You got a new job. You got a new life. There was an old you, and there was a uniform that went with the old you. But now there's a new you. If you have believed in Jesus, put your faith in Jesus, surrendered to Him for salvation, then there's a new uniform and it's time for you to put it on, all right? So pretend that today's your morning and you're looking at the closet and you got that old uniform on the right. Is this your left? This is your left. You got that old uniform on the left and you got that new uniform on the right. Pick the new uniform today. Colossians 3. If you're open to it in the Bible, let me invite you to stand all around the room and we are going to read from God's Word. And then I'm going to try and motor through this passage as fast as I can, so y'all pray for your pastor today, okay? Beginning in verse 5, you follow along as I read. Therefore, put to death what belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, God's wrath is coming upon the disobedient. And you once walked in these things when you were living among them, but now put away all the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. Put it away. Do not lie to one another. Listen, since you have put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, you are being renewed in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. In Christ, there is not Greek and Jew. There's not circumcision and uncircumcision. There's not barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free. But Christ is all and in all. Verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a grievance against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you are also to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. And be thankful. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, verse 17, whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this time and for this day and ask now that you will bless the reading and the preaching of your word, Lord. I got my prayers that you'll just move me out of the way this morning and that you will speak what you want your people to hear. Holy Spirit, you are the one who can communicate in every language to every moment that every person is facing. And so I'm asking that right now you would do just that and speak to your people today. Lord Jesus, we love you and we're thankful for this time. We pray all these things in your name and all God's people said, amen. Awesome. Go ahead and have a seat, have a seat, have a seat. All right, so here's what I'm trying to say to you. If you've got sermon notes, then this should be right there at the top. I want you to hang on to this one thing, right? As Christians, we have died to the world and we've embraced a new identity. So from now on, we are God's chosen people, holy and beloved, and therefore we must do three things. Now, there's a lot of things in this passage, but I needed an outline, and you got some sermon notes, and so 3 points sounds about right to me, so that's what you're going to get this morning. Point number one on your notes is this: put off the ways of the world. You're God's chosen people, holy and beloved, therefore you must put off the ways of the world. And of course, this comes from verses 5 through 11. We read through those. You heard the different things that Paul lists. Put to death what belongs to your earthly nature. Now listen, let me just say real quick, right off the bat, okay? This is one of those simple sermons, okay? We call it easy preaching, hard living, all right? Because it's really easy, y'all, for me to stand up here and say, hey, don't be greedy, don't be impure, put away all the filthy language. It's really easy for me to stand up here and say that. It's another thing for us to go out Monday through Saturday and actually live that out. So let me just speak to some of you, because I know a lot of your stories, and I know that a lot of you have been in the church for a long time, and you're like, man, yeah, I know what God's word says. I'm just stuck. Like, I just don't feel like I can put off the filthy language. I just don't feel like I can put off the lustful thoughts. They're invasive. They just seem to get in my head at different points through the day. I just don't feel like I can put off the anxiety, the depression. I'm trying. I just don't feel like I have the power. Well, brother and sister, let me encourage you this morning. Number one, the power's there, right? The Bible says that he's faithful. He's not going to lead you into temptation without giving you the way of escape. So the power's there, but this is really important. It comes from the Holy Spirit, not from you. So the chances are good. If you're trying and trying and trying and still failing, then rather than leaning on the Holy Spirit's power and submitting to his power, you're trying to do it yourself. And I've been there. And struggled for years and years. It doesn't work. It just does not get the job done. So to those of you that are like, man, I want to put these things off, but I'm struggling, then let that be my first encouragement to you, is make sure that you've got your power source figured out in your mind. Lean into the Spirit rather than your own ability, which is lacking, at least if it's anything like mine it is. Now understand also that sometimes, and I can't figure this one out, but sometimes people get stuck, right? And so this is where it's like, man, if you're like addicted to something, then probably you probably need to talk to somebody rather than just trying to sort it out and in your mind thinking, okay, I'm going to drill into the Holy Spirit's power right now and I'm going to get over this addiction. Like, a lot of times you need some help, right? you need somebody to come alongside of you and help pull you out of that. And that help is available. So just know that as you struggle and strain to put off the old man, the old woman, you need help alongside of you. And that's totally okay. That's totally normal. Here's my opinion. Everybody in the church needs counseling. Me too, right? And if you're too proud to say I need counseling, then man, you got a bigger problem than you realize, right? So just hang on to that. If everybody in the church got the help that they needed, then we'd all talk to each other a whole lot more. All right? Now the Bible is aggressive, right? Put to death, okay? So listen, life is war. As a Christian, like, life is war. And you need to treat it like that. You can't wake up in the morning. I'm sorry, y'all. I keep talking low and popping this thing. That's my bad. You can't wake up in the morning and be like, peacetime mentality, man. It's all good. The devil's going to leave me alone today. I promise you he's not. And that's the day that you're most vulnerable. Like, wake up and get ready to fight. This is why, and I'm not saying that you have to, don't get legalistic with it, but this is why I encourage like a morning time in God's Word, okay? Hey, listen, when you have your quiet time, if you can get it done at night, that's fine. If you get it done in the afternoon, that's great. Your lunch break, that's great. But one of the reasons why I think it's important to do something in the morning is to remind yourself, I'm at war and I need to armor up. Because otherwise the enemy's going to have a field day in my life. Now notice also that the Bible is going to strike at your identity before it hits your activity here, okay? Again, really, really important. Paul says, put to death those things that belong to your earthly nature, okay? The reason you should put these things off is because they belong to the old identity. And when he starts encouraging us toward the things that we need to put on, he's going to speak to our identity as well in that regard. Why? Why does he do this? Because Paul knows that identity shapes activity. So you do what you do because you are who you are. So if you change who you are, which that's something that Jesus does, right? If you allow Jesus to change who you are, then it'll change what you do. If you do it the other way around, then what you're doing is tweaking. You're doing behavior modification, and that's not the way that the gospel's power works in your life. It is important. It is important to go to war against these things that you're called to put off. But remember that it starts with embracing your identity. So what all are we supposed to put off? Well, Paul hits sexual immorality first, and he hits it thoroughly, right? There's a handful of words that he uses here. Not all of them are like explicitly about that particular topic, but they all connect to it, right? The first one, sexual immorality, it's like the junk drawer of all sorts of sexual sin, okay? So everything that doesn't line up with God's idea for sex is included in that word. Paul's saying put it off. If you're participating in things that are outside of God's word for your life in that regard, put it away. Be done. Put it to death. He also uses uncleanness. He uses the word for like strong desire or passion, which my Bible translated as lust because it's caught up in this basket. And then he talks about wicked desire or evil desire. So all these things you can kind of hear how they're bunched together. But then there's this one more at the end. He's like, hey, put off greed. And you're like, well, that's interesting. But you can hear I don't know if you've ever heard of this. Have you heard of the law of diminishing returns? Right? That when you do something, it satisfies you at first, but then the more you do it, it stops satisfying you over time. And so you have to go further. You got to do a little bit more to get the same kind of reaction to it. Paul is saying that desire for more and more, whatever it is, that'll kill you. And so you got to put it off. You got to kill it before it kills you. He says greed, which is idolatry. At the end of the matter, brothers and sisters, here's the point. Anything that you want more than Jesus is an idol. Like, sure, you may not wake up and, you know, come to a temple or like a church house where you gather with other people and sing songs to your idol, but anything that you want more than Jesus is an idol. And when you give yourself to that thing, it's worship. That's idolatry. So Paul's saying, hey, put off those things. That all belongs to your old nature. And because of those things, the wrath of God is coming against humanity. Now, hang on to this with me, because he says that you once walked in these things, right? And so listen, let me just say, as a pastor, like, I get the opportunity to speak to you guys that come in this room on Sunday mornings. Sometimes I think we get frustrated with lost people for living like they're lost. And brothers and sisters, like, I just don't think we should be there. Listen, is it disappointing when our culture strays from the word of the Lord? Yeah, it absolutely is. I wish that it didn't. I wish that we all walked in ways that were good for society. But they're lost. So it's not rocket science that lost people behave like lost people. What's crazy is that they do that with more consistency than we sometimes as Christians behave like Christians. So don't be surprised when lost people think differently about the world than you do. Don't be surprised when lost people vote for different reasons than you do. Let that motivate you to say, man, we've got some gospel work to do. Like, my neighbor needs my story, and I'm going to go share it with them. Because not because I want them to vote like I do, not because I want them to think like I do, but because I want them to experience the Jesus that I know. And you go and you tell them about him. I got to keep moving. He continues the list. Put away the following: anger, wrath, malice, slander, filthy language. And then he says, don't lie. If you avoided being caught by that first list, and you probably did not, then surely something on this second list has trapped you. See, Paul is right. We all once lived this way. Sometimes as Christians, we get caught up and we live this way even though we have put on the new man. What he's saying is, like, we're all trapped in these kinds of sins. He says put them off because you've put on the new self. That new self is being renewed, made new in knowledge according to the image of your Creator. Genesis 1 and 2. God is speaking. He's creating everything. And he says, let us make man in our image. And so in the image of God, he made them, male and female, he created them, right? The fall doesn't eradicate the image of God in us. Like, every person that you've ever met is made in the image of God still. And they still bear that. But it's like a mirror, right? We're imaging God, and that mirror is now cracked. And it doesn't show an accurate picture anymore. So what Paul is saying is, hey, you've put on the new self, and the work that Jesus is doing, he's fixing that mirror miraculously so that now you start to look like your Creator again. So here's the question to you. Do you look more like Jesus today than you did yesterday? Do you look more like Jesus at this time this year than you did at this time last year? Have you made some progress in your faith? Well, Paul's going to tell you how in point number two. He says, this is how we put on the ways of Christ. Again, remember, identity leads the way. He says, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly loved, here's what I want you to do. So he's reminding you, hey, the reason why I want you to do these things, the reason why I have the authority, I'm speaking as Paul, Paul has the authority as an apostle to call them to these things, is because he's saying, you are God's children, and he loves you. Your Father loves you, right? So here's what you should do to live that out. Like, you're a child of the King, let's act like royalty. And so he gives this list of things that we need to put on, right? Compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love, and forgiving one another as Christ forgave you. There's so much here. And, like, we could probably spend a sermon a week, you know, just talking about each one of these things and how we could live it out. But here's what I would encourage you to do. I'd encourage you to, I don't know what kind of person you are, if you're a refrigerator magnet kind of person, or a post-it note on a bathroom mirror, or if you're just one of those crazy people that takes an Expo marker and writes directly on the bathroom mirror, which that's fine too. But what I'd encourage you to do is write the put-on list from Colossians chapter 3 somewhere that you're going to see it every day and be reminded of it, right? So write down kindness and compassion and humility and gentleness and patience and bear with one another, forgive one another. I'd encourage you to write that list down and then just ask yourself the question when you see it on your mirror, when you see it on your refrigerator, when you see it in your Bible. All right, did I remember to put those things on today? God, help me to put these things on today. That's the uniform that I want to wear today, God. Help me to put that on. He says, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And we talked about this in group today, that if we loved each other like the Lord calls us to love, then the church would be a whole lot more attractive than the church is. And I love the church, and I'm not hating on it. And I think, honestly, here at Quarry Church, I think we do a pretty good job of this, right? But always room to grow in the way that we love one another. Let me challenge you. Find somebody in your life, or think of somebody, who does not look like you, or does not think like you, or both. And ask yourself, what have I done to demonstrate the love of Jesus for that person? I mean, like, I want you to have a name in your head, or at least an image, a visual. What have I done to demonstrate the love of Jesus for that person? Because, man, it's easy. It's easy when we're in here. Hey, brother, I love you. You know, hey, sister, I love you. Glad you're here. Hope you had a great week. But when the rubber meets the road and the calling is to actually get invested in your life so that you know and feel the love that I have for you, that's a whole lot harder. It's a whole lot harder in here, but it's even harder out there. So think of that person, ask yourself, what have I done? And ask yourself maybe this too, what can I do this week to demonstrate God's love to that person? The perfect bond of unity, man, if you want something to pray for the Alabama Baptist Convention this week, pray that we will experience the perfect bond of unity, right? The love that builds unity among us. Now, Alabama Baptists, we're doing okay with this. Like, for the most part, we're pretty united. Our meetings have not been contentious, you know. We walk in thankful. We walk out thankful, right? Especially pray it for your Southern Baptist Convention, which seems to find new ways to get divided about all sorts of things every single week, and it's inspiring. I should probably take a break here and add a commercial for why we still partner. And man, listen, I'm not gonna go too deep on this, but there is, like, you find me an organization that's taking the gospel to the nations better than Southern Baptists are doing it, and I'd be happy to have a conversation with you about partnering with them. God has given us a really great opportunity to be with our brothers. What we need is that love that allows the perfect bond of unity to thrive. So he also says, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts and be thankful. Now that's the first of three times that he's going to encourage us to thankfulness. But let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. All right, I got to talk to you. Hey, listen, if another person had been elected on Tuesday, there's a whole bunch of you that would have walked in this room this morning anxious. You would have gone into work on Wednesday anxious, or Thursday anxious. Friends, when God says, be anxious for nothing, he means it. And you and I need to understand that we have all the power that we need to overcome anxiety about the direction of our culture, the direction of our world. We have what we need. Let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. You know what a ruler does? Dominates, dictates, commands. So Christ's peace should dominate the attention of your heart. You and I struggle with it too. I'm not standing up here like I'm perfect. Listen, but you and I can't let our hearts be so susceptible to the fear of what might happen. Let the peace of Christ rule and be thankful. Hey, no matter who is in the White House, we got a lot to be thankful for. A whole lot. You do, I do, your neighbor does. So let his peace rule and be thankful. Paul says, let the word of God dwell richly or bountifully or plentifully among you. Here's what that means, that I can preach for a really long time and you guys should be okay with it, you know? I'm just kidding. That's not necessarily what it means. But he wants a lot of God's word in their midst. Like, I want you to hear the word frequently. You know, I want you to be around God's word all the time. I want you to talk to your neighbor about God's word. I want you to text your friend a scripture so that they're reminded of God's word. I want you to be in church on Sundays so that you get to hear God's word, no matter who's preaching it. I want you to let God's word dwell richly among you. I want there to be a lot of it. You should hear teaching. You should hear admonishing. You should hear psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All my brothers and sisters from the old school mentality said, what'd you say? Hymns? Amen, right? We should hear those a lot. Friends, the way that, I forgot one thing because at the end he says singing with gratitude. There it is again. Thankfulness, gratitude, right? I told you last week or a couple weeks ago that gratitude, thankfulness is the antidote for a million little sins. So be thankful for what God has given you and let his word dwell richly among you. Number three on your notes, Paul wraps up with this wonderful conclusion that if there ever was a life verse, then here it is, man. Whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. I want you to think about all the things that you do. Think about your favorite thing to do. Think about your least favorite thing to do. Think about some things that are kind of in the middle on the spectrum, you know, right? Kind of like it, kind of don't like it. All those things, think about them. Can you do it in the name of Jesus? Hey, if the answer is no, it's probably time to cut it out. Go to war, right? Kill it and get rid of it from your life. If the answer is yes, then man, listen, do it in the name of Jesus. Like, use it to glorify him. And let's not over-spiritualize this, okay? Do I believe as your pastor that you can watch a college football game in the name of Jesus? 100% I do. Yeah. Do I believe that you can cut your grass, rake your leaves in the name of Jesus? Yes. 100% I believe that you do, that you can. I believe that there is a long and mighty list of the wonderful things that you and I can do in this life that God has given us for enjoyment or for advancement of the kingdom that you can do in the name of Jesus. So again, if think about it. If you can't do it in the name of Jesus, I mean, it's usually a sin, right? Don't sin in the name of Jesus. It doesn't work like that. But whatever you can do, do it for his glory. Do it to make much of him. Do it with a smile on your face. Man, how amazing is it that God has given you life and breath and a mind and some hands and some feet that can go and accomplish things for him? Like, be thankful. You know, again, in this season, it comes back to me to raking leaves because, that's what our trees are doing to us at the moment, you know. And it's one of those things that, like, makes you cry out the refrain of Ecclesiastes, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. You know, like you rake them up and then one more tree just decides, no, I got more for you. Here it comes, you know. But man, how would it change if instead I said, man, God, thank you for these trees on my property. God, thank you that you've given me the strength to keep up the place that you've given me to live and to make home. So again, whatever it is, do it in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's the call to you and me, brothers and sisters. So, a question for you. Are you putting off the things that belong to your old nature? And are you putting on the things that belong to your new nature? When you wake up in the morning and you look at your spiritual closet of uniforms, are you grabbing the one that belongs to the new man and going out to face the day with the right clothing on? I hope so. And I challenge you that if there's a way that you're not, then man, let's talk to the Lord about it today. Again, I know sometimes it's hard. It's hard to get out of those situations. It's hard to figure out, God, what exactly do you want me to do here? I know that I can't do this thing in the name of Jesus, and I want to be done with it. I want to go to war to it. I want to kill it. I want to get rid of it. But I'm struggling, How do I do it, Lord? Well, take that up with him today. And maybe reach out to somebody today. Talk to somebody today. Certainly, if you want to do that, you can come and talk to me. We're going to have a time of response here in just a minute. And I would be happy, I'd be honored to have a conversation with you where I just get to pray with you over something that God has called you to put off that you're not sure how you can. Certainly be honored to work with you from Monday to Saturday, trying to help you live that out as well. And listen, I don't think that anybody's above this. Like, as your pastor, I need people checking in on me. Hey, Brian, are you putting off the things that belong to your old nature and putting on the things that belong to your new nature? Sometimes that answer's yes. Other times it's like, oh, man, no, I gotta get back to it. So let's let today be a reset. Now listen, if you have never surrendered to the Lord Jesus, like if you've never given him that total authority in your life, whether you're a young person or an old person, if you've never given him that opportunity to exercise his power in your heart, then today's a great day for it. So I want to invite you to spend this time of response asking him, Lord Jesus, make me new. I don't want to live out this old life anymore. I want to live out a new life. So Jesus, make me new. That can be your response today. And again, I encourage you to come and talk to me about it. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up at this time. And we're going to respond to the Lord in this moment. After we respond, we're going to pivot and we will celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And so I'll give more instructions at that time. But let me pray for you and let me ask that God will give you the strength to respond to what he's saying today. So Jesus, thank you for your word, which is strong in its calling to us and which invites us to put off the old man and put on the new man. Put off the old woman and put on the new woman. Lord Jesus, I pray that today you'll help us to do just that. In this time of response, Lord, I ask that you will show us the things in our lives that you don't want there anymore. And you'll help us to resolve right here, right now, to go to war with those things and to kill them and get rid of them from our lives. Jesus, I know that your power is available to us to overcome. I also know that your people are available to us to walk alongside of us, hold us accountable, and help us overcome. And so I pray that this morning you'll convict where you need to convict your people, and that you will stir their hearts to respond to you in some way. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.